Good morning, church.
Welcome to worship. It is, I think fall has finally arrived. Had to dig around in the closet for some long sleeve, sweater, wool things. So it's good to see everyone. I know for some it's time to be away since it's fall break with the school system. So I'm glad that you've chosen to be here with us this morning. Welcome to Trinity United Church of Christ, where no matter who you are or where you are welcome here. Do you have some information you'd like to share? Heather, do you want to come talk to us about food?
There'll be information in the Chimes, but I wanted to put out a save the date announcement. November 20th, we're doing all the things. So November 20th, we're going to have a special Thanksgiving and Totenfest worship service, followed by a quick congregational meeting to approve our budget for next year and council nominees. Then we're going to bring back our luncheon, our soup and dessert luncheon. So there's a sign-up sheet on the post in the foyer, but we hope everyone will gather in the parish hall and sample lots of homemade soups and desserts. After that, we are decorating the sanctuary and the foyer because the following Sunday is the start of Advent. So in addition to decorating, we're going to have some crafts and some activities for younger people or young-at-heart people. If you're not into decorating but you want to make an ornament for your home or for a loved one. And then eventually we hope the little ones can help decorate on the bottom of the tree. So again, we're doing all the things on November 20th, and we're really looking forward to spending this time as a church family.
Yes. So
hope to see you there.
Looking forward to it. You'll notice there is no confirmation class this week since it is fall break. And if you want some information in the next newsletter for November, you need to get it to Taylor Monday, Tuesday, because the following week, starting Monday 24th, Taylor will be enjoying her postponed honeymoon. Now, I will still be around, and you can always contact me for information. I'll be in and out of the church office. Usually I'm there in the mornings and into the early afternoon. So if there's some way I can be of service, please don't hesitate to contact me via text, telephone, email, or just drop by if you see my car. Any other information that you want to share with one another? If not, then let us share God's peace. Peace within us, peace over us, let all around us be at peace. I want to invite you to stand and let's sing together. Come now, Almighty God. It's number 275 in your hymnal. depart, Spirit of power. To you, great one in three, eternal praises be. Forevermore, your sovereign majesty, may we in glory see, and to eternity love and adore. Let's continue standing for our morning prayer together. God of justice and mercy. Oh, I'm sorry. I wanted to skip over our invitation to worship. Let's enter into our invitation to worship together. We have gathered in God's holy presence, the one who etches grace on our hearts.
This is the place where God seeks to transform us into Jesus' disciples.
We glorify our God, who yearns for justice, not only for a favored few, but for all the world, including the least of these in our midst. We give thanks to God for God's unceasing grace as we remember God's persistence in saving us. Amen. Now we can pray together. God of justice and mercy, we come knowing we've fallen short in standing up for your justice. We've looked to our own needs and desires and failed to see the needs of others around us. We've given up, thought it was too hard, or stopped believing we could make a difference. Forgive us for not trusting in your belief in us. Forgive us for not seeing your faithfulness to us. Turn our hearts again to be faithful to you, to trust you, and be persistent in seeking first your kingdom. In the name of Christ, who was persistent to the point of dying on the cross and rising in the resurrection, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I don't see any children, so Alexander's off the hook. Unless you'd like to hear his story. Always has a good one. Oh, let's go ahead with our choir.
Thank you.
Amen.
Our scripture reading today is from Luke chapter 18, verses 1 through 8. Jesus told them a story showing that it was necessary for them to pray consistently and never quit. He said, "There was once a judge in some city who never gave God a thought and cared nothing for people. A widow in that city kept after him, 'My rights are being violated. Protect me.' He never gave her the time of day. But after this went on and on, he said to himself, 'I care nothing what God thinks, even less what people think. But because this widow won't quit badgering me, I better do something and see that she gets justice. Otherwise, I'm going to end up beaten black and blue by her pounding.' Then the master said, 'Do you hear what that judge, corrupt as he is saying? So what makes you think God won't step in and work justice for God's chosen people, who continue to cry out for help? Won't God stick up for them? I assure you, God will. God will not drag God's feet. But how much of that kind of persistent faith will the Son of Man find on the earth when he returns?"
Amen. May God add blessing to that reading as well as your hearing. Indeed, it is God's word. Well, once upon a time, a woman lived happily with her husband and children, and as a stay-at-home mom, she was proud of her ability to run an efficient household. Her husband handled all the business affairs, so she never had to be concerned about financial matters. She'd never even seen the family checkbook. She wouldn't have had the slightest idea how to balance it. She didn't even know what that meant. Now, she knew that he wrote checks for bills and purchases, that he visited the bank often, and she overheard discussions about loans and investments. Yet she didn't need to worry her pretty little head about such matters. So it was a comfortable arrangement. She had no interest or need or desire to involve herself in his responsibilities. After all, he left her alone to manage the household as she saw fit, and he usually went along with her request to purchase whatever she needed. So it was a cozy image of happiness and contentment until one day it all came to an abrupt halt. The woman's husband was killed in a terrible accident, leaving everyone in the community dazed and in shock. So suddenly, she was a middle-aged widow without any skills or training to support her and her family. She didn't even know how to complete a job application or drive a car. She had no knowledge or understanding about those loans and investments that her husband had made. So feeling lost and alone, not to mention vulnerable and frightened, she could only muddle her way through the situation in which she suddenly found herself. As one who had lived a rather sheltered existence, she had no experience about how to survive in the business world, so she quickly became a target for those who have no qualms about taking advantage of others. But slowly she began to pull her world together, learning a lot in the process. And when she realized people were taking advantage of her ignorance and vulnerability, she became angry. It seemed everywhere she turned, she was confronting another injustice. Until finally, she had enough. She filed a case with the civil court and secured a court date. Now the judge, selected to hear her case, was notoriously partial to affluent members of society, acting favorably only in cases where the plaintiff offered a bribe, you know, doing his duty only when it benefited him financially. Any other cases, he dismissed or just threw out of court without a second thought. He wasn't afraid of losing his job because he was so rich and well protected. I mean, he had enough money and incriminating information to silence anyone in the community. He feared no one. And he even boasted he wasn't afraid of God. By this time, the widow was almost penniless, without any social prestige or anything of value to offer the judge. And even if she wanted to, which she didn't, her case seemed hopeless. She couldn't count the number of times her friends told her, "Oh, just give it up. You can't fight this system." Sound familiar? In some way or another, that widow's story is our story. We've all had times we felt helpless and defeated, unable to cope with all that life has dealt us. Life is hard. We struggle at times to squeeze just a little bit of justice out of an unjust world. And we wring our hands in despair and we cry out to God. Yet we wonder if our prayers make any difference. Did they make any difference in this widow's life? See, she may have felt helpless and defeated, yet through all these trials and tribulations, she gained something that gave her hope and strength. She learned how to put her anger to constructive use, to fuel her perseverance and persistence in her case and in the future cases of all widows who would come after her. She simply did not, would not, could not give up her crusade for justice to be done. She went again and again to that judge who despised her, who didn't want to help her, poor, needy, uninfluential as she was. Yet she kept coming, day after day, week after week, until she came twice a day, finally three times a day, up to three times an hour, continually filling the mind of that judge with her plea for justice to be done. And every time she came, she added a new reason, a new aspect of her case, until the judge's head was totally oversaturated with thoughts of her standing before him. He thought of her when he woke up in the morning and when he went to bed at night, and he soon began to dread his days filled with her and her constant, relentless nagging, seeing and hearing her without fail. He even began to wonder where her anger would lead, perhaps to physical violence directed at him. Until finally he realized how he could rid himself of her badgering and pestering and insistent persistence in his life, day after day and hour after hour. At last he gave up, or gave in, however you choose to see it, by saying to himself, "You know, I might not be afraid of God or any human being, yet that widow will surely be the end of me. I could end up with a black eye, or worse. I will see that justice is done." Jesus told a parable like this to try to impress upon us the need to always be insistently persistent and specific in prayer, to pray continually, never losing heart. His point was, if in the end this sorry clod of injustice granted the request of a troublesome widow, how much more will our God hear our cries and see that justice is done? I mean, since our God is the opposite of that judge in personality and character, we can expect much better treatment from our God than that widow received from the judge. In other words, the meaner the earthly judge, the better our God. And if God will answer the insistent, persistent prayers of one Christian, how much more will God do to answer the insistent, persistent, combined prayers of an entire congregation? Think how quickly the earthly judge might have responded to the pleas of an entire group of insistent, persistent widows. So Jesus tells us our prayers must be continually presented to God as earnestly and insistently and persistently as that widow's pleas were presented to the judge. He wants us to keep asking and knocking and seeking until the door of heaven opens. He tells us to be specific in our prayers. I mean, that widow kept telling that judge exactly what she wanted him to do. So he tells us not to lose heart or become discouraged, or just keep believing God has heard and will answer. So yes, it's rather easy to see ourselves as the widow and God as the judge. Yet what if we switched the roles of the characters? What if God is the widow? Insistently persistent, pleading with us as the judge. After all, like a judge, we do have control over our hearts, our minds, our lives, and we have control over the heart and mind, the life and the future of this congregation. What if God is the widow? Week after week, day after day, even hour after hour, pleading with us to respond to God's desire for this congregation to truly be Christ's body on earth, seeking to serve the needs of those who live without adequate means of support, who are financially, emotionally, mentally, or spiritually lacking. How many children or even adults live in this community who've never even heard the name of Jesus? Well, except perhaps as a curse word. So the question becomes, what is God's desire or God's expectation for us to provide ways for those who don't attend worship at all, or even for those who've never even been inside a church, to hear the gospel? What if God is the widow who's constantly prompting us to do something, to bring the good news of God's love to a world which has no idea who Jesus is? How are we responding to Jesus' instruction when he said, "Go therefore and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer, teaching them to obey everything I commanded you"? What are we doing, or what could we be doing, to make disciples? What are we doing, or what could we be doing, to share with others what the presence and the power of Jesus Christ means to our lives? When and where are we sharing Christ? How Christ is transforming us from those who once had no hope to those who enjoy a full, joyous, abundant life? Who would we choose as our preferred audience with whom we can share God, how God is active and at work in our lives as individuals and as a congregation? Would it be children or young parents? Are teens, single adults, single parents, widows, grandparents? Who do we know that may not have a relationship with Jesus? Who among us has the desire and the passion to spread the hope and the joy of what it's like to have and to serve such an awesome God as we have and serve? Now, if you could envision this sanctuary full of people who need the presence and power of Jesus in their lives, what type of people would fill these pews? Yeah, unless we pay attention and we start to respond to God's pleas, like that insistent, persistent widow pleading with us to be Christ's hands and feet and voice and heart in this community, pleading with us to go and make disciples and baptize and teach them, then what if we are like that judge who did everything he could to ignore the widow and her request? Our prayer time doesn't come when God finally gives up and looks for another congregation to bless. One who's eager and excited about fulfilling Christ's commission, willing to find ways to serve the needs of all people, regardless of who they are or where they are on life's journey. The question truly becomes, how can we be more open to listening and hearing and responding to the leading of God's Holy Spirit? How can we be more positive and bold and courageous, not afraid to try things to attract children or youth or young adults? How could we invest in the lives of those who are outside the walls of this building, who have all sorts of needs, including a relationship with God? Maybe we could come together for serious, insistent, persistent prayer on a regular basis, asking and seeking and knocking for God to reveal how we can minister to the needs of folks who live in this community. Or we could spend time in serious, insistent, persistent prayer seeking God's desired future for our congregation. What would the desires of God's heart be? And how will we, as the judge, as the controller of our actions and of our future, respond to the pleas of God as an insistent widow for justice to be done? All God's people said together, amen. It comes to a time of prayer, being insistent and persistent before God about our present and our future. Let's turn together to page 460 in your hymnal and sing, Be Not Dismayed. Be not dismayed, whatever betide, God will take care of you. Beneath God's wings of love abide, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day or all the way. God will take care of you. God will take care of you. All you may need, God will provide, God will take care of you. Nothing you ask will be denied, God will take care of you. God will take care of you through every day. Take care of you. God will God taking care of you this past week? What joys or hopes do you have for the coming week, or have you experienced last week? We have what?
Next Sunday,
yes?
Between services, we have some light breakfast items available in out here.
That sounds awesome. For free.
Let me rethink that. Maybe we'll charge something. No, I guess not. It's like after the early and before this one. So invite people to come.
Yes. Sounds like a joy to look forward to. Food always brings people together.
Our illustrious mayor has a birthday today.
Oh my goodness.
Happy birthday.
Should we wish him happy birthday? Birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Jesus. Happy birthday to you. We assume you're going to have a celebration of some sort, probably with children involved. Oh, my joy this week is that Friday night I got to reconnect with a person from my high school class I had not spoken to in over 50 years. But thanks to the miraculous power of Zoom, I was able to reconnect with this friend after so long and try to catch up in about a two-hour conversation. So it's really great that you can find each other on Facebook sometimes and then reconnect for a Zoom conversation. Any other joys? Celebrations? How about concerns? Who do we need to lift in prayer this morning? Well, our world continues to be inundated with floods and fires and all other manner of tragedy. We can thank God that we have been blessed, and yet with that blessing comes that responsibility to respond somehow. That would be a matter of prayer for me. What others' concerns do you have? Family members, friends, loved ones? Heather.
A teacher that I work with very unexpectedly lost her mother in the last week, and they had all kinds of plans to spend the grandkids this week, and it was 8 days before her 50th wedding anniversary, and so they're going through a tough time. The teacher's name is Amber Fleck.
Amber, all right. Yes.
I heard from them this week, and they are in need of prayer. They're on their way to Florida this week to work, and so keep them in your prayers.
Right. Just for their strength and endurance and all the things they're seeing that must be just shattering, yeah. I saw your hand, John.
Just wish safe travel for everybody moving around during this fall break time, and safe returns.
Sure. Many folks are enjoying time away with their children while they're on fall break. Yes, sir.
All of our men and women in uniform around the world are living in a very dangerous world.
That's true. All our military people.
A while ago, you left out, you got floods and storms and all that stuff, but you forgot to mention drought.
Drought.
However, the positive thing about that is I don't have to mow the grass because it's all dead. Thank God.
Yes, you can find a blessing in the, but then will your grass come back? I have a son-in-law in the Air Force, so I do pray for that family. Because we really don't know what they deal with on a daily basis, which is a bit unsettling. If there are none others, I would invite you to take a deep breath and know that God is here, present with us. God is listening to our words and our thoughts, our hopes, as well as our dreams. A deep breath to thank God for being there, for giving us strength, endurance, keeping us safe when so many others are suffering. And finally, a deep breath to intentionally bind yourselves together as we go before God together as God intends. Most holy yet most gracious God, it goes beyond our comprehension not only how you can love us despite our failings and weaknesses, but how you can constantly be with us, watching us, providing us with all we need, giving us strength and hope, and giving us willingness to respond to so many who are in crises, so many who are dealing with the loss of homes and belongings, family members and friends, those who don't understand or don't even know who you are, O God. We hear that you want us to be involved and to care and show compassion and grace and forgiveness. Sometimes, God, we struggle. So we welcome your guidance and direction to be the leader of our team, to show us, to tell us, and then to use us. So we might be the hands, the feet, the voice, the heart of Jesus, your Son and our Lord. We're thankful, God, that you have given us moments of joy and celebration, special days, birthdays, anniversaries, other recognitions that are remind us that we are special to one another, to our family, to our friends. And we thank you for making those relationships possible. We ask you to strengthen them. Give us more and more awareness of the value of love we share. We're thankful, God, for the miraculous power of the internet, for our abilities to be in contact with those over miles and miles in space and time. And God, as we look around us, as we see so much happening in our world, the floods, the fires, and the drought, we ask you to keep showing us how we can best respond. What can we do to ease the burden of those who are in need, those who are in pain, those who are suffering, those who are grieving so much? Sometimes we're overwhelmed, oh God, and wonder, why have we been kept safe and protected? Why are we blessed so much? So we thank you again for all the ways that you do bless us and give us so much to enjoy. Help us to share all your blessings. We want to specifically lift up Amber and her family. We want to pray for those who spend their days in disaster recovery. We also want to lift up, God, our military, the members of military families who constantly face the unknown. Help them have strength and courage, stamina, endurance to cope with whatever comes into their lives. Many of our number, oh God, are traveling this weekend and this week. And you know how we cherish those people who were not with us today and their families. So we do ask you to grant them traveling mercies, that they will be kept safe and protected, guarded by your angels. For all the many ways you bless us, God, it goes beyond our understanding that you hold us so dear to your heart, and your greatest desire is to bless us and provide us with all of our needs. As always, God, we're thankful for the privilege as well as the power of prayer and your promise that not only have you heard our prayers, but you have already begun to respond, because we do pray all of our prayers, whether they've been spoken aloud or uttered from our silent yet earnest hearts, with or without words. We pray through the power of your Holy Spirit and the blessed holy name of Jesus, your Son and our Lord. For he is the one who taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. When I first began seminary, I was uncomfortable even thinking about the meaning of justice. Even if I didn't like it, I knew there was a certain order in our world where some people were simply more favored than others. Now, my father was not an executive in a corporation, so I couldn't be part of the popular crowd, because that's just how it was. It wasn't until much, much later I began to see the way things were was not the way God intended them to be. I finally began to understand that God's desire for our world was that all people would be understood and accepted as important, with value and worth equally. All others, because That's the order of things in God's kingdom. So the thought of trying to change our current system function, how our current system functions, where some are more important and valued than others, can seem overwhelming and impossible. Yet at least for me, this is part of God's call to us as Christians to do all we can to create a different system that is truly full of liberty and justice for all. Even though we may not want to admit it, we do control how justice happens for those who are less fortunate. Our gifts, when presented to God, can help bring justice to bear for those who've never benefited from it before. God blesses our efforts and our energies to encourage justice in all places, in all times. Let's pray God's blessings on the offerings or the gifts that we have made or will make today. God of grace, we offer you ourselves, our tithes, and our offerings. Our giving is only the beginning of how we seek to honor you in gratitude and praise. You desire to bless us and our lives as we extend love towards you and all your children. We give joyfully, knowing you bless our gifts, freely extend grace to us, and free us from judgment, a gift far beyond we can ever give. May our gratitude be shown in how we give, share our resources, and live our lives in love and compassion for others. In thankfulness, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. I want to invite you to stand and let's sing together our closing song, Lead On, Eternal Sovereign, number 573 in your hymnal. Standing that we might join responsively in our blessing and benediction. Here in this place, God transforms us into disciples.
So we can share the grace etched on our hearts.
Here with these people, God writes compassion on our hearts. Now in these moments, God's Spirit is breathed into us.
So we can
can be as persistent as God, bring hope to the world. Amen.